Tomy waits for the 3-2. Here it is. A swing, a high fly ball, left center field. He's going to join the 500 club. Eyes on the run. He's at the track. He's at the fence. Leaps, makes the catch.
Yes.
He took away a home run. Wow, what a play. Ramirez has it, throws. Burley picks the perfect game. People going crazy here at U.S. Cellular. He's mobbed by his teammates. A perfecto.
White Sox. White Sox.
White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. The latest news and views from players, coaches, and direct from the front office. White Sox Weekly on the proud new home for Chicago White Sox baseball, 89 WLS.
Honestly, hearing that open, the first thing I just did was Google Chicago temperature, because walking over to beautiful WLS today, I felt like we could play a World Series game today, or at least opening day. 45 degrees, that's really not that cold. It almost feels a little baseball-y. The winter meeting's coming up. Hi, my name is Mark Harmon. This is White Sox Weekly, 89 WLS. Great to have you along. Huge show today with you, with two big guests and some conversations about what you would like to see the White Sox do at the winter meetings the rest of the offseason. Sox with a busy week picking up two catchers, one of whom you know extremely well because he's been in the division for 7 years, but now he's found himself a new home. Alex Avila signs a one-year, $2.5 million contract, not only leaving the Detroit Tigers to come to the White Sox, but also leaving his dad in the process. And no better way to kick off White Sox Weekly than to bring Alex on the air. Alex, good afternoon. Have you already made Chicago your home? Let's start there. Is it starting to feel like, wow, I'm a Chicago White Sox? That's a big change. You know, it's only your second team in MLB, so it's got to feel a little bit weird for you.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's a little strange, obviously, not knowing that I'm not going to be going to Lakeland, Florida for spring training and Comerica Park every day. Yeah, like you said, over the past few weeks, once it kind of became official that I was going to be in Chicago, you know, I would say probably a few days, and then I kind of got over it and was pretty excited about the opportunity.
Well, it's interesting, too, because not only are you leaving, but your dad was the assistant GM starting with Detroit when you were in high school, and now he's the general manager. And, you know, I've read the comments saying that, you know, you always kept it, as, you know, things separate, what's on the field and off the field. But that's got to be a word. Did you call your dad at the moment and say, hey, Pops, yeah, the White Sox made an offer. I'm leaving you. I mean, how did that go?
Well, I mean, it didn't go quite like that, you know, I'm leaving you or anything like that. It was basically it was a business decision on their part. I mean, McCann came in last year, did a very good job, and you know, obviously it just comes down to finances, and you know, basically I was the odd one out because I was making more money, and which is fine. Plus, you know, McCann's a great kid, you know, and deserves an opportunity as well, and that's really the business of baseball. It happens with every team, with every player at some point in their careers or at some point in the year. And, you know, I'm sure they would have liked to have me back, but they had other needs that they needed to address, similar to the White Sox. You know, their need was they wanted to bring in some help behind the plate, and that's where myself and Navarro came in.
So You're coming off a year where you were bad, a little bit of knee trouble, and it wasn't, you know, the 2011 season that you put up when you were an all-star. And you've been a part of, you know, four straight division championships, the whole thing. I would assume that you're super motivated coming in here to not only get back to playing how you can, but also, you know, to make a little bit of a statement, and you're going to be seeing those guys a ton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year did not go at all how I planned going into spring training. Like you said, you know, battling a knee injury that kept me out 2 months and kind of put me back quite a bit throughout the season. The other thing is, you know, last year we finished in last place. That was the first time I was on a losing team in 7 years. So that was something that I was not used to and didn't particularly enjoy very much. And you know, going into this year, definitely want to prove that I can, you know, continue to be productive, and also I want to win. I mean, I'm used to winning. I enjoy winning, and, you know, that's really the bottom line.
Alex Avila, the new White Sox catcher, with us here on White Sox Weekly, 89 WLS. I'm Mark Harmon. Hey, Alex, you, Rick Hahn talked about, the White Sox general manager talked about your leadership skills, And when you're somewhere for 7 years, you're super comfortable. Now you're coming into a new clubhouse. And I think the White Sox are actually looking for someone like yourself to come in there and be a presence in that clubhouse. How do you think you'll go about that, being the new guy?
Well, I mean, there's already some guys with presence in that clubhouse. And, you know, I think what you just try to do is you try to, you know, get to know your teammates, you know, blend in, try to figure out ways to, you know, kind of get to know guys, you know, because we spend a lot of time with each other. So you want to be able to, you know, come to work every day and enjoy it. And, you know, that part right there is an important part, not only for, you know, being able to enjoy coming to work every day, but also the success of the team. And, you know, I think just the fact that I've been on a winning team, like you said, we've won the division. We've been really successful. Maybe I can bring some of my knowledge or my experiences into that clubhouse to be able to help other guys as well. You know, but really all that will kind of unfold once we all get together in Arizona and really start to get to know each other. I mean, I'll have a lot of work cut out for me in spring training as far as getting to know the pitchers as well as everyone else on the team and kind of gelling with everybody and get, you know, figuring out how everybody likes to prepare and work. So there's a lot of work ahead, which makes it exciting at the same time because I haven't had to do that in quite some time. So going into it, it's very exciting for me knowing that it's a new place, new opportunity, new teammates, and, you know, hopefully really good things that come going into the season.
One guy you do know, David Robertson, you play with him at Alabama. If I said War Eagle to you, would that upset you?
Well, it would upset me, but, you know, the good thing is that we kicked their butts pretty good last week, and I'm getting ready for the SEC championship game this afternoon. So
yes, you are.
It doesn't hurt me that bad.
Yeah. There's two guys, by the way, in MLB that played for Auburn. Can you name them? Any shot?
I mean, I could probably name them without putting me on the spot. Off the top of my head, I couldn't think of their names.
That's what we do here, Alex. On a Saturday at 12:10, we like to put a little trivia on. Josh Donaldson and David Ross are your two. Okay.
I didn't realize David went there, but yeah, I mean, I knew Josh. I played against Josh.
And when you were there, you were a third baseman, correct? And then you moved to catcher as a junior. Is that right?
I played third base and first base, and my junior season, going into that year, we had no catching, and our head coach asked me if I wanted to catch. I said, sure, why not? Let's do it. And so I put the gear on and started catching that year and got drafted that year.
That wasn't a bad decision. That kind of worked out for you.
No. I mean, I'll tell you what, though. I was a very bad catcher, too. I was lucky that some people saw that there was potential there.
And you've turned into a very good one, Alex, not to, you know, blow you up here, but you've caught no-hitters, Justin Verlander. You should add another one with Armando Galarraga. Do you say hello to Jim Joyce when you see him? I don't know if you take on Galarraga's pain.
It was definitely tough, for that game, for sure. But, I'm over that. I say hi to Jim all the time. You know, he's a very, very nice guy. He's a good umpire, and you know, there's no love lost there. I mean, we enjoy working with each other. So, but that game's probably more famous because it wasn't a no hitter than if it did actually happen. So.
That's true. That's a very good point. You're known to take a lot of foul tips, Alex. Are you done with that? Can you avoid that? Is there anything you can do? I'm sure you've thought about this.
Well, I have done a couple of things. I've changed my mask, for one thing, to the hockey style mask, which has taken some time to get used to, but has worked out pretty well. The other thing is I've kind of changed my setup behind the plate a little bit, and it worked really well last year. Last year, I mean, it was probably the least amount of foul tips I had ever taken. Granted, I didn't play as much because I was out 2 months on the DL, but the time I was out there, I mean, like you said, normally, you know, I was good for at least a couple of games, and I maybe had, you know, I could maybe think of maybe a handful all season that, you know, that actually got me pretty good. But I think I'm kind of over those, and you know, I think I found something that works for me, and you know, it should continue.
That's interesting. And a couple more minutes here with Alex Avila. You get hit that much, you probably have to make an adjustment. And I know you were battling some concussions along the way, which can't be fun. Alex, I've done a lot of homework on you here. I'm going to freak you out. For one, are you still trying to be like a deep sea fish diver tour guide when you're done? Because I know that you love the dolphin fishing.
Well, I grew up fishing down in, I live in South Florida in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
I grew up offshore fishing and still do it to this day. I was actually out yesterday and caught a couple of sailfish and dolphin. It's just like my other hobby and, something I do other than baseball. And I mean, if I didn't do baseball, I mean, I would love to do something like that, to be a charter boat captain or to, just something that I could get out in the water every day. Because I love being out in the ocean and just love, love kind of being out there fishing, not knowing what you're going to get, and all of a sudden, getting something on the line.
Alex, I got to tell you, and I know this is the first time we've really talked, but radio is a very volatile career. And if we could do like a Forrest Gump style deal when you're done playing, I mean, I'd be your second mate or whatever they call them, just hang out, because that sounds like a good spot.
It is a good spot, and I mean, get in line though, because I have a lot of people asking me for that position.
I would imagine. You still playing Call of Duty?
No, I don't know where you got that one. I don't play much Call of Duty.
Okay. That, are you listening to country music? I've got. You're a big Tim McGraw fan.
I do listen to country music, classic rock, a little bit of everything, but mostly country music.
All right, last one for Alex Avila, one of your White Sox new catchers. The White Sox also signing Deonner Navarro this week, Alex, and I'm sure you're well aware that you're going into a competition. Sometimes it's really mapped out. He's the one, you're the two. You guys are both coming here because you both want to play. How do you compete for the job and also be a great teammate at the same time?
Well, I don't think that'll be difficult for either of us. Last year when I came off the DL, with McCann playing the majority of the time, I felt like it was my job that, to make sure that he was prepared going into each game as well. So I tried my best to help him out because, the number one thing is we want to win that game. And regardless of who's playing. And, I mean, that's the way I look at it. I know that's the way Deonner looks at it. I mean, we know each other a little bit and talk when we've played each other. Our number one goal is to win the game. No matter which one of us is going to be out there, we're going to be, rooting for that guy. And then when it's the other, the same thing. The thing about it is that obviously you need that competition. In baseball, there's always that competition with the number one goal being winning. And so to be honest with you, it's not too difficult to kind of separate the two. The one thing that I'm excited about is I think that we'll do very well together and complement each other well. And I think, to be honest with you, we'll both, play well and be able to get a lot of playing time at the same time. And it should be a good situation.
Sounds awesome. Alex, welcome to Chicago. You made a great decision. You're going to love it here. No better place to play. And we look forward to seeing you down in spring training. Congratulations on becoming a Chicago White Sox.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That is Alex Avila, your newest White Sox catcher. How awesome is that? The guy wants to retire from baseball and become a deep-sea fish diver, something, catch some dolphins, live on the water. I feel like that's a nice spot to go. And listen, you're talking about a guy who's got a reputation as being a phenomenal leader. And don't forget, I mean, this is somebody who's won a ton of games. He's caught Cy Young Award winners in Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer. He was a Silver Slugger Award winner in 2011. I really like the signing. The White Sox making big moves at catcher this week with Tyler Flowers, Giovanni Soto now both gone, and Alex Avila and Deonner Navarro both in. Offense should be up, and I think the defense will be just fine. All right, quick timeout. It is the winter meeting starting. Pretty much everybody will be down there tomorrow in busy spot in Nashville, the Music City. What are the White Sox, or what is the White Sox biggest need, want, that you would like to see them do this coming week? Or the rest of the offseason. Let's talk about that coming back. You're welcome to call in 312-591-8900, 312-591-8900. It's White Sox Weekly, 89 WLS.
In 2016. 2019. White Sox baseball. Experience it here. 89 WLS.
That's right. Your new home for White Sox baseball. 89 WLS. White Sox and the rest of baseball all descending on Nashville. The winter meetings this week. If you've been following along, a couple big fish have already been taken off the board. David Price, $217 million to the Boston Red Sox on a 7-year deal. And Zach Greinke goes last night, $34 million a year to the Arizona Diamondbacks. I got to be honest, it kind of makes me nauseous. And I wonder where the game is going and how much it's going to cost to go to the stadium and how much are we going to pay for cable rights and all that type of stuff. But this is what happens, and there's just so much money in the game now that the primetime players are going to be getting the dollars. Now, how does that impact your Chicago White Sox? I actually think in some ways that news is really good if for Rick Hahn, your White Sox general manager, if he wants to get creative this week. And I'm not saying that I'm endorsing that, but everybody seems to be getting up in arms about the White Sox not having this concrete plan. Well, it might go this way, might go that way. Listen, I think there's a million different ways this could go, and it doesn't bother me that, you're always trying to add talent right through the draft, and if a free agent makes sense, you're always trying to bring that guy in as well. And if a trade makes sense, well, then that's something that you would do. So, they're open. This is how I look at it with the big signings. You have two pitchers that are talked about all the time in Chris Sale and Jose Quintana that are on incredibly team-friendly deals, right? Quintana signed through 2020. There's two club options in there the last 2 years, $10.5 and $11.5 million. Now, if Zach Greinke's getting $34 million, I'm not saying that Quintana is Zach Greinke, clearly not, but is he two-thirds of him? So what's he worth right now? $20 million right now? So you're paying half at the end of his contract for him? So these guys when the contracts continue to soar, their value just keeps on going up further and further and further. So maybe if you do decide to make a move, you're going to get that much more for Quintana or Chris Sale. Now, I say Chris Sale really reluctantly because I don't think the White Sox would trade Chris Sale. I just don't. And really nobody does. I think he's too popular with the fan base, and you don't make deals based around that. But when he's really... when you've got him and Abreu as basically the face of your team, I just don't think those guys are movable. Quintana is someone that I'm sure Rick Hahn would consider. But the thing is, if you're going to make that deal, you have to win it. It can't be, make sense for you, make sense for us. And maybe that's what you would say at the time. But you really got to win the deal because you know what you have here. A 200 innings guy, ERA in the mid-threes, mid-20s, and that's a hard guy to give up. I would not be interested in doing that unless I felt like, oh my God, I absolutely positively have to make the move. What's your number one thing you'd like to see the White Sox do? 312-591-8900. Got a couple minutes here. We'll have Don Cooper after the 12:30 news, White Sox pitching coach, and a little bit on the White Sox garage sale going on right now in the back end and your phone calls. But here's the thing, worst case scenario for the Sox right now, let's say that no trade with Quintana makes sense, right? And let's say that nobody wants to take Adam LaRoche off your hands. Here's what I would do. I think most realistically, just seeing the numbers, you've got Trace Thompson, elite defender in the outfield, Tyler Saladino, who looks like he's going to be a star defensively and going to play shortstop. Now, maybe you get a veteran guy and you move Saladino to third. There's nothing wrong with winning with pitching and defense is what I'm getting at here. And that's the strength of this team. The White Sox in the first half last year when they buried themselves, they did not catch the baseball. So if you have a team that is built around, we are going to pick it wherever it's hit, and we have outstanding starting pitching, and you hope that David Robertson at the back end he called last year the worst year in his career. So he comes back to being himself, knocking down the ninth inning. What's wrong with winning that way? And maybe it's the most realistic. I know everybody wants this big splash, and you need a third baseman. But the third baseman that are available, David Freese,
32 years old, hit 257, 14 homers, 56 RBIs, hit 20 bombs once in his career, 275 hitter. I mean, that's fine. It's fine, but it's not sexy. I mean, we're not going to jump up and down, oh, my God, they got David Freese. I mean, it would make sense. I'd say, okay. But that's not something that's, you know, he's not a guy that's going to put you over the top. Casey McGee, who's out there as a free agent third baseman, the guy hit 198 last year with the Giants and the Marlins. And again, if you want to take a flyer, that's fine. But the White Sox strength is their starting pitching. They didn't feel the ball last year in the first half. And in the second half, they did, and they started playing better, and they were hanging around the wild card until they weren't. So, listen, if you build it around better defense and you maintain some sense of financial sensibility when things come along, that's fine to me. So, and you have, like, Trace Thompson, you can't have a better defensive outfielder. Will he hit? You got to give him time. He hit last year, but he's, you know, you got to see more of the product. He wasn't an elite hitter in the minor leagues, or else he would have been here sooner. But I'd like to see what Trace Thompson can do. And I'm excited to see Saladino at short. And Carlos Sanchez at second is an upgrade from where they started the season. And I still like to see Micah Johnson out there. But listen, if I'm Rick Hahn, my main focus is getting guys who can pick up the baseball. There is one guy out there, if they want to be creative and basically have dead money with Adam LaRoche, Pedro Alvarez non-tendered by the Pittsburgh Pirates this week. Now, he's non-tendered because he can't play first base, and the Pirates didn't want to pay him $8 million. But Pedro Alvarez hit 27 home runs last year, which would look awful nice on the White Sox. This guy also hit 36 a couple years back, led the NL. So you're talking about a Sox team that, you know, 12th in the AL last year, batting average 250, dead last in slugging, dead last in home runs. Pedro Alvarez, he's out there. Now, you'd have to figure out what you're doing with Adam LaRoche, but that guy as a DH, I'd be interested in doing something like that. 312-591-8900. That is the phone number. Don Cooper, your White Sox pitching coach, coming up after the 1230 news. It's White Sox Weekly on 89 WLS.
WLS for award-winning news, traffic, and weather updates at the top and bottom of every hour, every day. 89 WLS.
Pleasant good afternoon to you. I'm Mark Carman. This is White Sox Weekly. Winter meetings taking place this week. We're with you till 1 o'clock. 312-591-8900. The text line 68683. Pleased to bring in our next guest, the outstanding pitching coach who had a big week this week. He doesn't know it, but I'm going to explain it to him. Coop, Don Cooper with us on 89 WLS. Coop, if Zach Greinke's worth $34 million and David Price is worth $31 million, somebody's got to coach these guys. And I think you're in line for a raise, sir. I mean, you got Chris Sale and Quintana and Rodon. If they're worth that, you've got to be worth that much more. What do you think?
Well, geez, I don't know if I'm worth that, but certainly we've got Chris and Quintana Q at a great price for now, and sooner or later they're going to become multi millionaires when their contract runs out. So we'll just enjoy them while we have them.
Yeah, and there's no doubt more money down the line for those guys, but certainly not struggling to eat right now. Hey, let's when we're looking back at next year, I want to start with Carlos Rodon because I just have such high expectations for what this guy can become. And for somebody 22 years old to come in, throw 139 innings, get better as the year went along, his last eight starts basically were phenomenal. I mean, what do you see for him, I guess, going forward here, Coop? Because I think the ceiling's pretty high for Rodon.
Well, you know what? There's going to be high expectations. Obviously, the second pick in the world. You know, I think you hit on that, and he also hit on that he got it going in the second down the end of his year. You know, we were watching his innings. So, you know, when I think of all of that, I think about trying to pick up where we left off. I mean, he's a young guy. There's going to be, you know, he's going to trip and fall from time to time, and it's our job to pick him back up and keep him going. But he's a talented guy. And another thought that comes to mind with Carlos, we've got to get better at getting ahead in the count and making him hit the first, second, or third pitch, limiting the walks. And if we do that, I think we have a chance to pick up where we left off. But there's still a lot of, a long way to go. You know, I look back on guys like Hugh, like Sale, like Danks, like Burley. You know, the younger guys that have come through over the years and kind of where they were, you know, after their first 135 innings and where they had to go. So there's a plan behind Carlos, and we're looking forward to that plan getting started and seeing it where it can take us.
And that's interesting, thinking about looking back on it, Coop. Like, when you go back on Chris Sale, when did you realize that Chris Sale was going to become, you know, Chris Sale? When was it like, oh, my God, this guy's going to be incredible?
Well, yeah, good question. Incredible is a strong word. You know, and I'm not going to try to sound like I'm a seer or a soothsayer or anything, but everybody was questioning whether he could be a starter, you know, if you really remember well.
Yeah.
After being a relief for a year and a month for us, I knew he could be a starter because I knew what he possessed. He's been exceeding even that because of the growth that he's made. I knew he had a dynamite fastball. I knew he had a dynamite breaking ball. I knew he had a changeup that people weren't seeing because in relief you just maybe didn't get a chance to see it as much. But when you're out, you know, because in relief you might be in charge of, 20 pitches if you pitch an inning and a half or, something like that. But as a starter, you're responsible for about 120, you know. And so I knew the physical stuff that he possessed. The things that he does is what all the good pitchers I've seen through the White Sox do, as well as opponents. He pours strikes in there. He's got exceptional stuff, and he's pouring in strikes, and he's getting ahead in the count. Kind of the stuff we just talked about with Carlos Rodon. You know, he gets ahead. His walks are minuscule. His strikeouts are many. You know, and he's a four-time All-Star. I would never use the word outstanding, like unbelievable, to try to pin a tag on a guy, because I know it's a tough job. It's a tough road to hoe to become a four-time All-Star. I don't want to say something that's going to kind of put the jinx on it, you know what I mean? But deep down, I knew he was going to be good. This good, you know, I thought he was going to be real good. But, you know, what he's done, it's topped even that, especially when you look at the strikeouts he had last year. You know, he just set a record for the White Sox that I want to say, I forget the guy's name, Big Ed somebody, you know, that set it in 1909, and he needed like 50 starts to do it. You know, Chris is a special guy. There's no question about it. And I've always looked at Chris's – my job with Chris now is to keep him healthy, keep him strong, so he can roll out there every 5 days and continue to do what we've seen him do.
You're talking about Big Ed Walsh, by the way, Coop, 1904, which is impressive that you just referenced him.
I know the name. I just slipped my mind there for a second. But Big Ed Walsh, you know, so anytime you're passing Big Ed Walsh on something, you're doing something special. And he's we're looking for more out of Chris, you know, more and more growth. I think the strikeouts to tell you the truth, you know, I love strikeouts because that means nobody's touching the ball other than him and the catcher. I love him. But I'd like to see Chris, you know, see if we can get some earlier contact, get some ground balls, get strikeouts when we need or when he needs, and just be able to go a little bit longer in the games. You know, everybody – I just did an interview this morning, and people said, well, you know, down the end last year, he got a little tired. I think he did to a degree. I think everybody gets a little tired down the end. But Chris had an outstanding season, no matter how you shake it out. People sometimes look for the weak link. You know, he's a dynamite pitcher. That's documented, and we're hoping to keep that going.
See, I wasn't even going to bring up the September, and you know, it wasn't perfect or even close to it. Actually, it was not Chris Sale like. Let's put it that way. I mean, he gave up 40 hits.
Well, not to where he sets the bar for himself.
Right.
For many, many pitchers, it is fine, you know. But, you know, Chris has set the bar really, really high. And, he's trying hard to live up to that. Look at what he's done. Everybody expects nothing. But listen, when he gave up runs, when he gave up, pitched seven innings, he gave up three runs, people were complaining about the game. You're like, geez, that he didn't pitch very well. You know, I'll take that every time out. You know,
yeah.
So, but he's got the bar high for himself.
Don Cooper, White Sox pitching coach, with us here on White Sox Weekly, 89 WLS. All right, let's move on to let's go closer in David Robertson, who, I mean, he called it last year the worst year of his career, Coop. I don't know if you would sum it up that way, but I guess what do you feel like you got to do with David to get him back to where he was?
Well, you know, listen, I don't know if it's the worst year of his career. I know it's the first year with us. I didn't see him on a regular basis with the Yankees, but I'm glad we got him. You know, if I had one wish, listen, each closer in the game, the top guys will probably blow somewhere between 3 and 7 games, you know. And to make a long story short, I'd like him to be a little bit higher percentage of save opportunities and nail down saves. That's where I think he's talking about, to tell you the truth. I mean, he had a nice year for us. But there was probably three, four. But, boy, we'd like to have him back. And it slipped away from him and us. You know, a closer for me is how many opportunities do you get to save the game and how many do you nail down? That's, you know, it's not ERA because those are the guys that are pitching one inning. And, heck, you can have 9 great saves in a row, 9 scoreless inning saves in a row. And if you have 1 or 2 innings, whether it's a save opportunity or not, where you give up 2, 3, 4 runs and have a bad outing, it makes your numbers look, your ERA look bad. You know, if those guys to me is, they're the last line of defense, nail down the game any way possible, limit the amount of, I hate the term blown saves, but I'll use it here now, limit those, you know, and because that's what they're getting paid for. How many times do you get that 9th inning and nail down the last 3 outs, which is sometimes real hard to get, and keep a high percentage of save percentage. Yeah.
Couple more minutes here with Don Cooper, White Sox pitching coach. All right, real fast, and Jose Quintana, outside of scoring more runs for him, what can we do to get him more wins, Coop?
You know what? Catch the ball better too. You know, I mean, catch the ball. This guy, I love this kid, and he's. Goes unnoticed, I think, to a lot of people in Chicago. Now, I don't believe he's unnoticed in the industry, but in Chicago, he is. What he's known for is starts that he gets no decisions in. But this kid is a trooper. This guy, for White Sox fans, he's somebody to be proud about. And he works extremely hard. I can't think of a negative, you know, with Jose. I love the kid, and we've just got, you know, listen, there was one quote he said that I kind of liked, and he meant it. You know, I think he lost like 2-1 or something like that, you know, and we just, you know, had trouble scoring runs. And he said, next time, you know, a reporter asked him the question, what are you going to do? Well, next time I'm going to be prepared to give up nothing, you know, to give up less. So, you know, that's something because it doesn't play with his head. That he's got to do more. He knows that all he can do is go out there and do what he does best. And that's give us a chance in just about, you know, every single game he pitches to win that game. And from a pitching coach's, you know, vantage point, he's a pleasure to have.
Coop, I got spies on you. Were you at the Blackhawks game the other night jumping up and down going crazy for the hockey?
No, I was at the bowl game about 2 weeks ago. Jumping up and down for them versus Oklahoma.
That was a great game.
They won, and they had a tough one. It lost a tough one, I believe it was to Minnesota. I was at the hockey game 2 nights ago here in town, the Predators versus Florida, with John Danks jumping up and down when they scored, but I only jumped up and down 1 time. But I will be at the Blackhawk game on the 10th when they play the Predators here in Nashville. I love going to the hockey games here in Nashville. I love when I'm in Chicago in the winter going to the bowl games, Blackhawk games especially, but especially the bowls. I'm more of a basketball, baseball guy, and I love football too. I'm more into the basketball end. I love the Bulls. You know, I grew up a Knicks fan. You know, it's tough for me when the Bulls are playing the Knicks, but you know what? I love the Bulls. You know, I pull for them. As much as I can, and I kind of in a tough spot when they're playing the Knicks.
Was Charles Smith fouled, Coop? 1990 was Charles Smith fouled in 1993? Smith again? No. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Say it again. I missed it. I'm sorry.
Was Charles Smith? I don't know if you remember the '93 playoffs.
I think he was. I think he was fouled. I think he was fouled. But at that point in the game, you know, you let him play. It's not about the referees. It's not about the umpires. It's about the players. You know, and it's not about the coaches and anything like that. It's always about the players. And you know, I also look back on when Michael came and played baseball, and you know, Michael was tough to beat, man. You know, I admired those Bull teams. I admired what they did, and Michael was a guy that drove people to success, and he was one of the guys. I'm glad I got a chance to meet him because he was the ultimate competitor in everything.
Yep.
Whether it was basketball, baseball, Yahtzee, golf, I don't care what it was. He wanted ping pong. I played him in ping pong one time. The first day he came, I beat his butt, and I was talking some trash, and he was looking for me every day after that until he was beating my butt.
You took Mike down in ping pong, Coop? That's one of the – that's, I mean, you've done a lot of great things in your life, but that's got to be the claim to fame.
I don't know about claim to fame, but it's one that I won't forget. You know, this guy had unbelievable wingspan, not only in basketball, but he had some wingspan in ping pong. He became very good, and I remember one of his comments over the first week. You know, he was down there before everybody else working out, and we worked him out. And when I lived in Sarasota, and you know, he said, "Man, this is fun. This is like being in the boys' club when he was a kid." You know, doing baseball, playing ping pong. You know, he took us out to eat a couple times. Just a wonderful guy and an unbelievable competitor, man. And when I first saw him, I said, man, this guy's he's like he was chiseled out of black marble, this kid. There wasn't an ounce of fat on this guy's body. Tremendous, sleek, athletic body. And what a tremendous, you know, listen, everybody knows how good he was.
Yeah, I like to call him the greatest player to ever play anything. Coop, I could talk to you all day, but we'll let you get back to your off season and enjoy the winter meetings. I know you're down there. I don't know if you're going to be snooping around, and we look forward to seeing you. Spring training's coming soon enough, my friend.
All right, Mark, thanks.
There you go. Don Cooper, your White Sox pitching coach with us here on 89 WLS. I'm a little bit late for a break. A lot of stuff going on off the field that we'll get to in the next segment, including a major, major sale going on, something that's near and dear to White Sox hearts. We'll explain next, 89 WLS.
Passion, pride, tradition. Starting in 2016, the White Sox play here. 89 WLS.
White Sox Weekly, 89 WLS. A couple more minutes with you as we take you up till 1 o'clock. Great to have you along on a beautiful Saturday. 45 degrees out there. Wouldn't be the worst weather for opening day. Starting to feel it with the winter meetings this week. All right, so if you're in the neighborhood of U.S. Cellular Field, you should head on over because until 2 o'clock today, they're having the holiday garage sale. And there is one item where you don't need to necessarily go there, so this is why I'm bringing it up mainly. You got 65 minutes left to bid on maybe the coolest item that could ever be out there. Nancy Faust, you remember the famed longtime White Sox organist. They are selling her Hammond Elegante organ. The organ that Nancy played for oh so many years is available. The opening bid, which started yesterday at 2 o'clock, and they're having bidding today until 2. That's why you've got now 64 and a half minutes to do this. The opening bid was set at $1,000, and the winner is responsible for transporting the organ from U.S. Cellular by February of 2016. So you got like a month and a half or whatever it is to get it out of there. But, I mean, everybody loves Nancy, right? And everybody loves the organ. Times change, though, and there's more different forms of music. And, I mean, I'm one of those people that always just – I want everything to stay the same way it was when I was a kid. So – organs and hot dogs that are $2, and when I was a White Sox vendor selling cotton candy for a buck. I mean, it all should stay that way, but it doesn't work like that. So now you got this organ out there, and there's got to be a diehard Sox fan, right? I know you're out there who A, loves the White Sox, B, loves Nancy, C, plays the piano at the very least, and would kill to have that thing in your house. I mean, if you've got the disposable income, something like that just doesn't become available all too often, and it's sitting right there for you. So the auction, you go to whitesox.com/auction. You've got about an hour to get that done now, as I've detailed that painfully at this point. But it's cool that something like that's out there. And it's also cool, I was just reading up on Nancy this week. She's doing some stuff with Kane County, so still staying around the game. I think she plays on Sundays. And Nancy, no one in the history of baseball has been a more beloved figure who played an instrument at the game. I mean, really. Nancy Fowles, she could sign autographs for hours, really. People just love her, and why not? Because she's just such a class lady. But WhiteSox.com/auction, the organ is up for sale. Be interesting to see what it goes for. That's gonna do it for me here. I want to thank Don Cooper, White Sox pitching coach, for joining us. Also, very much thank you to Alex Avila, one of the new White Sox catchers, who was just awesome to talk to. 7 years in Detroit, now here in Chicago. Alex was a lot of fun to have on. Winter meetings this week should be interesting. The White Sox, I expect him to be active. We will see you next time. Thanks to Don Kleppen for producing the program. Thanks to you for listening. This has been White Sox Weekly on 89 WLS.